Orleans. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins.
I used to visit all the very gay places. Those come with May places, where one relaxes on the axis of the wheels of life to get the feel of life.
If anyone relaxes on the axis of the wheel of life to get the feel of life, it would be singer John Butte. He has the old world charm of a great troubadour. But bring your hanky. A Butte concert is a cathartic event.
When I opened my eyes, every lady in the audience was crying. All the guys were crying. And the kids were crying because they saw their parents crying.
John Butte, after the break. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins.
If I had my life to live over, still do the same things again, still want to roam in that place that I call home, that's where my happiness would never end, and I'll meet you.
John Butte is one of those artists who seems like he's been around forever, but he hasn't. Before recording his first album in the mid-1990s, John Butte was a whippersnapper with grown-up jobs in the U.S. Army, at a bank in New Orleans, even at the city morgue. Without those experiences with life, death, and ATMs, he wouldn't be as good as he is today.
It's time to go. Let's agree we put on quite a show. Well, yesterday we partied, but today the music died. I'll see you on the other side. I'll see you on the other side.
From John Butte's latest, a song called See You on the Other Side. Butte's new album is titled All About Everything. And it kinda is. He sings gospel, soul, New Orleans R&B, and a standard from the Great American Songbook. The title track is Brazilian, and Butte pulls once again from Leonard Cohen, a songsmith who deserves his own category in popular music. Somehow, it fits. All About Everything is a portrait of an artist in the prime of life. He's wise and funny and sad and brazen and humble. And most importantly, John Butte is here with us. Elephant Quilt Studios in New Orleans. Thanks so much for coming out.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
Now, I would suspect that you were a thief in your previous life. And the reason I say that is because you pickpocket songs that are associated with well-known artists and you make that material your own. It's crazy, but you somehow pull it off. You must have very, very soft fingers.
With the songs that I pick, I love melodies. I like them simple. But the lyrics, I want them to be very poignant. I want them to mean something, you know. I just want to be singing, just to be saying, baby, baby, yeah, yeah, love, love, you know.
But, you know, it's funny because when I was listening to your latest album, All About Everything, I was really enjoying that song you sing, No, No, the River Song. And it took me a long time to realize that that's Fats Domino's song.
Well, I went to the river and I turned around because I didn't want to drown, drown, drown. That's right, this Fats tune, and I wanted to change the lyrics because as one line it says, I went to the river
and a turnaround because I didn't want to drown.
Yeah.
No. And that you can tell my mama, you can tell my wife, I've changed my mind. I'm not going to take my life.
Yes.
Well, that's never been a problem for me. I've never felt suicidal. So I wanted to say, I changed my mind. I'm not going to change my life.
Oh.
But that wasn't the lyrics. So I was trying to stick to the lyrics. You can tell my mama and my wife, changed my mind, not gonna take my life.
I call this kind of song a Shake Your Ninny song.
It makes you want to do that.
And it makes you want to do it.
It does. And I love Fats and everybody in his band and Dave Bartholomew and, you know, that whole New Orleans music scene. And when I was just a young boy, Fats would pull up on Durbany Street at Muley's Bar and Grill.
Yeah.
Because I think Mr. Muley used to count his money or whatever, right? But he would, whenever he'd come off of tour,
yeah,
he would pull up with that Greyhound bus.
Yeah.
Of course, because his band was on the bus. And either his white Rolls Royce or his pink Cadillac would all go chrome.
Yeah.
Right? And he would come in and he would buy everybody beers and, you know, sandwiches, you know, pool boys and stuff. And it was amazing, you know, that here's this guy who sold like 100 million records, man. He pulled up in a neighborhood just like anybody and got out and enjoyed himself, you know.
Exactly.
Very normal.
Very normal.
Very normal and, you know, not untouchable. You know, he was very accessible.
You know, you really are good at reinterpreting material. But at the same time, you know, I mean, people are very eager to put fresh material in your hands. And on your latest album, you've got a Dave Bartholomew song. Dave Bartholomew, who used to, of course, work with and produce Fats Domino for so many years and all. And you do a great song with of his. And then you also do an Alan Toussaint song that has never been recorded before.
Never released before, and those are two gentlemen who I really respect, incredible artists, writers, musicians, extraordinaire, you know. I know here the grass is greener, 'cause I seen it on the other side.
How did The Grass Is Greener, the Dave Bartholomew song, come to you?
Well, his Don, his son, pitched us that song because Blake asked me if Dave might have had anything.
Blake Lay is the producer of the latest album, right?
Yes, Blake
All
is,
About Everything.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. He's also the music supervisor of the Tremé.
Right, HBO series.
And, right, mm-hmm. And so Blake was scanning and searching for songs also, and Don brought this song to us, and we just changed the lyrics up because the original lyrics were, I know the grass is greener on the other side, and I was like, nah, I've been on the other side and I think it's greener here. You know, I was trying to put a twist. So, and Dave was kind enough to let us change the lyrics, you know.
Yeah, I mean, some songwriters are not happy about things.
Absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely. They'll say no, but no, right? But he said yes, which is so great. I'm all here, the grass is greener, 'cause I've seen it, sitting on the other side. There's no place on this earth that's like New Orleans. Well, I was born right here, and right here I will die.
Can you sing a song the same way twice?
No, never.
Yeah.
It's very difficult for me. I've first off, I'm just not that good. I don't think you can do it. You can't really replicate it twice like that. But in studying jazz and listening to jazz, one of the things is that it's got to be free. It's got to be improvisation.
Yes.
And it comes out how it has to come out, you know.
So in a music video, they would have to, like, film you from afar, right? Because, like,
they,
your lips wouldn't go the same way.
No, I wouldn't be lip syncing.
You know, what's also interesting is that when you decide to, you know, and I'm going to say lift a song from somebody else.
Right.
All right, you thief. you don't lift, like, some B-side of a 45 that, you know, ran in 1957 or 69. You would lift the A-side, you know what I mean? The side everybody, like, knows or think they know, I should say. And figure out a way to make that yours.
Right.
My favorite, I have to say, is what you did to poor little Milton.
Oh,
you know, his song
is, of
course, All Around the World, which we all grew up singing.
If I don't love you, baby, grits ain't grocery, eggs ain't poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man.
I used to hear James Carroll Booker do that tune over at the Toulouse Theater back in the 70s.
All around the world, I'd rather be a fly. A light on my baby and stay with her till I die. With a toothpick in my hand, I dig a 10-foot ditch. And running through your jungles, fighting lines with a switch.
Because you know I love you, baby. Yeah, you know I love you, baby. Well, if I don't love you, baby, grits ain't groceries, eggs ain't poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man. All around the world, got blisters on my feet. I'm trying to find my baby, bring her home with me. If you run into me, woman, you got to be convinced. If you don't run into me, girl, well, you ain't got no sense. Because you know I love you, baby. Yeah, you know I love you, baby. Oh, if I don't love you, baby, grits ain't groceries, eggs ain't poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man.
Yeah, it's just, I know, it's a fun song, isn't it?
It's a very fun song.
It's silly and it's fun, you know?
Exactly, and it's just, you're so good at humor, you know what I mean? Because you can make us laugh and you can make us feel all sorts of other things.
Well, you know, you know? The music should, you know, sometimes you want to hear serious music.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you want to hear light music. And if you don't, if somebody doesn't sing happy birthday to you on your birthday, right? Oh, aren't you upset?
That's right.
But music is so important. Even Taps.
Yes.
You know, the final goodbye for a soldier.
Yes.
You know, at a funeral to comfort the family, those who are still around. Music is always there, man.
Yeah.
You know, for weddings, you name it. You cut the music out and it's going to be quite boring.
That's right.
You know, so, yeah, music does make a big difference in a lot of people's life. And it's, although it's thought of lots of times, it's put on the back plate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't play that music, get a real job. Everybody's always looking for a musician.
We are living the eternal now. The past is gone, the future is tomorrow. The baby's laugh. Oh, folks, slow down. Maybe the moment is talking to you now. Are you alive at this moment? Are you alive? Can you feel it in your soul? Are you alive? Let your heart beat with mine. Jump into the river of time. We are living the eternal now. The past is gone. The future is tomorrow. The smell of raindrops. April, come
talking to you right now.
Be in the eternal now with Music Inside Out. And for the love of John Butte, stay with us. This is Music Inside Out, and here's John Butte with That's My Desire.
To spend one night with you in our old rendezvous and reminisce with you, that's my desire.
If you listen closely, you might hear a note of androgyny in his voice. John Butte has always had that quality in his singing.
When I was a freshman in college,
mm-hmm.
All right, man, my voice was so high. Gosh, I'm gonna tell you, it was just so high, right?
Yeah.
And they thought something was wrong.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. They didn't like the airiness mm-hmm. in my voice. They didn't like the pitch of my voice.
Who are they?
The speech pathologist.
Okay.
And they said, oh, you have nodules and da-da-da. Well, they look and they found that I was fine.
Okay.
Right? There's nothing physiologically wrong with my chords.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you got. You know? And I had to just come to terms with, hey, you know, yeah, you might say I sing like a girl, but I can sing.
There you go. There's a beauty in androgyny to some degree.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, there are plenty of genres of music, you know what I mean, in which a voice like yours is the voice that everyone wants to hear. You know what I mean? And
and I don't have a falsetto, right?
That's
this
true,
is, you know, my it's funny because I can't do the falsetto.
Mm-hmm.
My voice is naturally just so high that,
yeah.
You know, if I try to do a falsetto, it sounds ridiculous.
Well, have you ever heard a singer called Jimmy Scott?
Oh, I met little Jimmy Scott. Scott Ages, who's
yeah.
a guy, you know Scott Ages.
From the Jazz and Heritage Foundation. Uh-huh.
Scott brought little Jimmy Scott over to my mother's house where he sat and had a meal with me, right?
Really?
Yeah, right. And my very first review on my first record, which was Scotch and Soda.
Yes.
With a piano player, Glenn Patcher. John Sinclair.
Yes.
Wrote
the
first
poet.
Review. Right. John wrote my first review. And he said, diminutive John Butte was reminiscent of little Jimmy Scott.
Hmm.
Right? And of course I said, you calling me small, man? But it was, you know, it was a beautiful review because then I didn't know who Jimmy Scott really was until then I researched what he did. And, man, you talk about singing ballads.
Yes.
Oh, my love, my darling. I've hungered for your kiss alone, lonely time.
Yeah, once I realized who little Jimmy Scott was, I had to tell John I didn't care if he called me small.
God sweet,
also interpret songs that are very closely associated with female artists.
Sure.
You do a beautiful Why, the Annie Lennox song Why.
And what an incredible writer, man. How many times do I have to try to tell you that I'm sorry for the things I've done? But when I start to try to tell you, that's when you have to tell me, hey, this kind of trouble's only just begun, yeah. You know, I remember the first time I did it live at Jazz Fest. It was amazing because when I opened my eyes, every lady in the audience was crying. That's why it hurts so bad to hear the words that keep on falling from your mouth. Falling from your mouth. Falling from your mouth. Tell me why. Why? All the guys were crying. And the kids were crying because they saw their parents crying. I remember when I recorded it for the first time. And, you know, the last part was, this is a book that I've never read. These are words I've never said. This is a path that I've never tread. These are the dreams that I dream instead. This is a joy that's seldom spread.
These are the tears we shed. This is the fear. This is the dread. These are the contents of my head. And these are the years that we've spent. This is what they represent. This is how I feel. Do you know how I feel? 'Cause I don't think you know how I feel. I don't think you know what I feel. I don't think you know what I feel. I don't think you know what I feel. I don't think you know how I feel. You don't know. I don't think you know how I feel.
I can remember quite clearly after singing that song the first time I cut it, and I finally finished it. I had to walk out the room and, you know, try and get my composure so the guys didn't see me like bawling like a little baby, right? Because it finally struck me what the lyrics, you know, were all about, you know?
You capture a kind of anger in that song.
Right, because, you know, it was a frustration in there, you know, why? You know, the question is, you know, we're always asking why, and there's really no rhyme or reason to it.
That's right.
It's just the way it is.
Just the way it is.
Just accept it. There's no why.
There.
You know?
Blowing
that's how
wind.
It is, man.
Yeah.
That's how it is, you know?
Well, there's another song you do. It's an Iris DeMent song.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Iris DeMent is about the most fabulous, you know, sort of alternative country folk Americana singer you can possibly imagine. I don't know what label she wants to use, but she kind of embodies all of them.
I would say she's a folk singer.
Well, I think it takes some cojones, I have to say, to listen to Iris DeMent singing the song as a man.
Yes.
And say, I can sing that song.
Oh, yeah.
So let's hear a little bit of Iris DeMent singing this, My Life.
Don't count for nothing when I look at this world. I feel so small, and my life, it's only a season, a passing September that no one will recall. To my mother.
So, John Boutte, what do you hear when you hear her singing that song?
I hear her crying, you know, trying, saying that she is somebody, you know. And it's just a very emotional song, man, you know.
You have tears in your eyes. I do too. Yeah. Don't be ashamed.
No, I don't.
I do too. I mean, that is a gorgeous song because
everybody's life is important.
Yes.
You know, it has got to count for something.
It's got to count for something. It's true. And the fact that, you know, the things that she cites as being important, I gave comfort to my mother.
I give joy to my mother. I made my lover smile. And I can give comfort to my friends.
Yes. What more is there in life?
Right.
What more, really?
Eating. Sex. Joy to my lover. She caught that. She got that part right. But, you know, she really just hit on some simple, profound truths, you know? Yes. And, you know, everybody wants to, you know, make their mother proud or their father proud, you know? And they want to satisfy their lover. They want to have a good relationship. You know, they want to be happy, you know? And they, you know, they also want to be able to help people who are hurting, man, you know? And when your friends, you know, the lyrics is, I can make it seem better. She doesn't say, I'm going to make it better.
Yes.
But she says, I can at least make it seem better.
Which is very wise.
Yes.
Very wise.
Yeah.
We're going to listen to your version, if that's all right with you.
Sure.
But I gave joy to my mother, and I made my lover smile, and I can give comfort to my friends when they are hurting. I can make it seem better for a while. My life is half the way traveled, still I found my way out of this fight. So many things that never turned out right. But I gave joy to my mother, and I made my lover smile, and I can give comfort my friends when they are hurting. I can make it seem better. I can make it seem better. I can make it seem better for a while.
Got a little bit of the philosopher in you. And I think that, you know, people who are like that, you tend to cleave toward other people who are like that, meaning other songwriters or other artists who kind of look at the world in a way that you do, you know?
Right.
You know, taking the long view.
Right, not the short term, darling.
That's right.
Right, not the short term at all.
Coming up, the other side of the story. John Boutte has a big bark and he bites too. Ouch! Stay tuned. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and you better believe this is Music Inside Out. Have you heard John Boutte in Dark Water?
Dark Water. Oh, dark.
Well, I tell you, I listen to that song. It's like, it's so tough. It's so, like, it's grit. It's true grit.
Yeah,
that
well,
song.
You know, that's Galactic, man. They got that really, they got that hard funk edge to them.
They are excellent. It's so funny because, you know, Vanity Fair magazine, they say that you've got the face of a model and the voice of an angel. And I'm thinking, have they heard Dark Water? So where does that toughness come from? I mean, you're sweet and everything, but you're tough.
You know, I think it's being the eighth child out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And being 5 feet two, one and a half.
I was going to say one, but...
I've got a very kind, soft side, but... You know, you have to stand up sometimes. You know, I'm like that little tough chihuahua. You know, that you know, I will bite you.
Well, it's,
if you're pushing me for hard enough, right?
Or as what was it, Ernie K. Doe used to say, "I'm a bad motor scooter."
I love Ernie, man. I loved Ernie.
But what's so interesting is that two of the most sensitive artists to come out of New Orleans, you and Alan Toussaint.
Alan's an incredible guy, man.
Both served in the U.S. Army.
Wow.
Okay? And all the guys who come from New Orleans, at least, who are, swear they're tough, you know, the Lil Wayne's, they haven't been in the U.S. Army.
I've got good news that will tickle your heart. It will take you from anxiety to bliss. Better times to come, better things to do. Like reaching out your hand and not your fist. Much like this. So let's just say the war is all over. The fighting is all done. War is all over. Either everyone or nobody won. Not a one.
I did ROTC at Xavier, which was a big gamble, because when I signed that contract, if my scores would have been under a C, I would have been kicked right into the Army as a private.
That's
no questions asked. So this was, you know, I was rolling the dice to say that I'm smart enough to keep an above C average,
mm-hmm.
right? Which I, you know, I did pretty good at Xavier. You know, I was working 40 hours at the coroner's office. And,
but the thing did you join because you wanted to
join
for college, or did you join because you really wanted to be in the Army?
Well, I joined because it was a way for me to become independent financially and also upward mobility.
Yeah.
For African Americans have always been, you know,
through the military. You know,
through the military,
yeah.
Man. Those were the doors. Other doors were shut right in your face, you know?
So you went in as a, what, captain or?
No,
what,
a lieutenant.
A lieutenant, I'm sorry,
as a lieutenant. And then I was at Fort Hood for a while. I was a platoon leader. And then I took a hardship tour to Korea.
Right.
Which I really enjoyed. I love the Korean people and I loved all my soldiers, and I love serving, man, you know. I feel like I can really say now, yeah, I did something for my country. All my brothers served, my father served, my grandfather served. So, yeah, you know, I feel like I played my part in keeping the American dream.
Well, you know, one of my favorite songs that you make your own is Paul Simon's song, American Tune. Mm-hmm. I actually, that song is so hauntingly beautiful that when it plays, I actually look at the radio.
Wow.
I stop and I listen.
Many a times I've been discouraged and so many times confused. And I've also been mistreated and certainly abused. But I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm just weary to my bone. Still, you don't expect to be bright and bon vivant so far away from home. So far away from home. You know, that line, man, you know, being in exile after the levee failure, that just struck me, man, you yeah. know. And I dreamed I was dying, and I dreamed that my soul rose unexpectedly, then looking back down on me, smiled reassuredly. And I dreamed I was flying. It's hard for me to get those words out. And we come on a ship they call the Amistad. Come on a ship that sailed the moon. We've come in the ages most uncertain hour. And we sing an American tune. Oh, but it's all right. It's all right. Can't be forever blessed. Still, tomorrow's gonna be another working day. I'm trying to get some rest. That's all I'm trying to get some rest. And I sing an American tune because, you know what? I'm an American, man. Look at me, right?
Yes.
And, you know, this is what America looks like.
Right.
You know, I've got 10 brothers and sisters, I mean, rather 9 siblings, and we have some similarities, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, we go from burnt walnut to vanilla.
That's right.
Right? And we're all from the same mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's America also.
That
you know?
Is America.
So that's how I just interpreted it.
What did your dad do for a living?
He was an incredible guy, man. George was just, he wanted to be a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
He was a barber.
Mm-hmm.
He was a soldier in World War II. He was wounded, almost lost his hand.
Mm.
But luckily, in his case, he was what we call down here passe blanc, right?
Ooh.
So instead of sending him to the black field hospital, they sent him to the white field hospital, and instead of chopping his arm off, they saved his hand.
He was fair.
Right, he was
fair-skinned.
As white as your engineer. And guess what? You're probably just
Rick is our model.
But my dad, back to the question you said, he was... He worked in the post office. He was a carpenter.
Yeah.
He built my mother's home. He was a golfer. He was mm-hmm. an incredible golfer with 2 hole-in-ones.
Really?
That's right. And he was a wonderful man. He loved kids. And my mother, she loved being pregnant. She loved kids. And, you know, I couldn't have asked for better parents, man. Yeah.
Well, so when you think about that childhood in that household with all your siblings and your parents and all the friends coming through,
oh, yes.
And all. Can
relatives,
you think of a song,
cousins.
You know, it doesn't have to be your favorite song, but something that was playing in your household that makes, whenever you hear it, it takes you right back to D'Urbigny Street.
Oh, wow. A song that would bring me right back to D'Urbigny, yes,
mm-hmm.
would be, and it doesn't have lyrics, so.
Okay.
It's Joe Avery's Blues.
Joe Avery's Blues.
Mm-hmm. Second line, right?
Yeah.
next door to me was Mr. Glass, who was an incredible drummer for Eureka Brass Band. And we had, you know, we had Louis Cottrell would come get his hair cut, and Mr. Jack Willis was around the corner. We had all these incredible, incredible musicians. Even Sidney Bechet, man, lived around the block from my grandmother's house. Papa Celestine and them used to play in my aunt's backyard. So the traditional music, you know, that brought me back to Germany Street.
And the lore is that sometime in the 80s, you were at a jam session. You weren't a professional entertainer. Mm-hmm. You were at a jam session. Stevie Wonder was there, 86, right?
1986. And I was, at that time I was still playing a lot with my keyboard, and I had a DX7, and one of my friends, who happens to be Stevie's publishing lawyer, called me up and asked me would I bring the keyboard up to the hotel room, and subsequently I did. I didn't know it was for Stevie, et cetera, et cetera. Long story short, I went, he calls me back up, he says, come pick up your keyboard. I'm like, what? Man, you bring me my keyboard, right? He said, well, I'm gonna leave it in the hotel room. And I was livid. I just went up to the hotel.
To give him a piece of your mind?
Right, exactly, and grab my keyboard and shake him, right? Say,
right.
Man, don't ask me for nothing anymore, right? Right, and when I went to knock on the door, I heard that somebody playing the blues, and it was so, it sounded like Stevie Wonder playing the blues. I said,
wow.
That's impossible, right? And so I knocked at the door, my friend Tim opens the door, and I was in shock because there was my keyboard, and Stevie was sitting there playing it.
Playing it.
And I just walked in. I just ignored everybody. And I walked right there, and I sat like a little kid next to him for a while, right? And he finally turned around and said, hey, man, can you talk?
Really?
Yeah.
But wait a minute. You sang for him, though.
Everybody in the room was singing.
Well, what did you sing?
Well, he had made up this... You know, he would make up songs. This young lady who was a background singer walked in. Her name was Lena.
Mm-hmm.
And the other gentleman who had invited me there, that was his girlfriend, and Tim looks up and says, yo, Lena. Right? And she said, what? Yo, Lena, yo, Lena, yo, Lena. Yo, Lena, yo, Lena, yo, Lena. So, you know, he started this thing, right? And we were sitting on a sofa together, right? And so we started harmonizing. And somebody, the harmonies went a little bit off, and all of a sudden, I said, I think you're flat, right?
Ooh.
Well, the room went quiet, man. The room just went quiet, right? And Stevie turned around and said, man, I'm Stevie Wonder. I'm never flat. I said, well, maybe I'm sharp. He said, get me to the piano. Somebody give me some piano. He walked up to the piano. I'll never forget. They brought him to the piano, and he counted it off like this. Ra, ka-cha, ra-ka-ka-ka-cha. Yolina, Yolina, Yolina. You know, and everybody was singing it, and he was having, like, a round robin. Everybody had to come up with a part.
Mm-hmm.
Either even when you sang or you didn't sing, right? Everybody was coming up with parts, singing, you know. He was making you on the spot, putting you on the spot to come up with lyrics. And on the way out, as we were seeing him out that day, and he was getting to going to his car to the airport, he stopped me and he said, John, he says, you got something special. You have a signature on your voice. And I'm like, signature? What that mean, man? You know, is that bad? He says, nah, it means you sound like you. You don't sound like anyone else. You sound like you. And I'm like, take me with you. He says, no. I'm like, take me with you. So, take me with you, Stevie, please, take me with you. Huh? I said, well, what do I have to do, man? He says, patience and determination. That was it. That was his advice to me, you know. Subsequently, I quit my banking job the next day.
It's become a signature song for you. You wrote it. For anybody who watches HBO, they're going to hear it. And for anybody who goes to your show, they're going to hear it too. I mean, this is your Somewhere Over the Rainbow, the Tremé song.
Hanging in a Tremé, watching people sashay, past my steps, by my porch, in front of my door. Church bells are ringing. Preachers groan and the sisters moan in a blessed tone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Down in the Tremé, just me and my baby, we're all going crazy, buck jumping and having fun.
Do you tire of the song ever?
No, I really don't. I'm taking the advice, some good advice from my friend Paul Sanchez, who says, sing your songs.
There you go.
Sing your songs, you know, and always close with one of your songs, you know. So I know it might drive the band crazy, but you just have to deal with it.
I want to mention again that we're talking with the great John Boutte, who's got a new album out called All About Everything. And that's what we've been talking about,
All About Everything. Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for being with us. You've just been great.
Thank you so much.
It's been a real pleasure.
Trumpet bells ringing, bass drum swinging, as the trombone groans, and the big horn moans, there's a saxophone. And my baby, we're all going crazy, buck jumping and having fun. Down in the Tremé, it's me and my baby, we're all going crazy, buck jumping and having fun. Down in the Tremé, it's me and my baby, we're all going crazy, buck jumping and having fun.
John Boutte, singer, philosopher, chihuahua, spoke with us at Elephant Quilt Studios in New Orleans. And you're listening to Music Inside Out. Look for us on our website at musicinsideout.org and on Facebook and Twitter. Our show is produced by Lynette Johnson, Rick G. Nelson, Lily Kieber, Sean Collins, and Jason Ryan. This and every show is produced in partnership with our friends at WWNO. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out.
Music Inside Out is underwritten by the Historic New Orleans Collection, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, Adam Newman Studio, and WWNO. Donations to Music Inside Out are tax deductible, thanks to our partnership with the National Performance Network. For more information on how you can support our program, go to our website at musicinsideout.org/support.
This week, our last word goes to John Boutte and songwriter Paul Sanchez. Their collaboration is called A Thousandfold.
Your blessings come back to you a thousandfold. The kindnesses you gave so easily. The smile when I was down, that you brought around. The gentle touch that meant so much to me. May your blessings come back to you a thousandfold. To sustain you in your time of need. And if love can tell, the ones you love so well, and all that you have done shall you receive. 1,000